And now to Ray Mueller in Washington. Are you there, Ray?
Right, Chet. I'm standing in the White House Rose Garden in front of a small platform with a loudspeaker where momentarily the president will deliver a message to the press corps here and to the American people. Nobody knows for sure just what the president will be talking about. Bill Moyers, the White House press secretary, said a half an hour ago he had absolutely no idea what the president was going to discuss, but the rumor is that it will be about the new disturbance in Watts. Attorney General Katzenbach was in talking to the president this morning, and some expect him to accompany Mr. Johnson when he makes his address today. It's an odd thing about Washington rumors. They usually wait. The president has just left the east wing of the White House, and he's coming through the garden accompanied by, and this is a surprise, Air Force Chief of Staff General Curtis LeMay. Stay tuned after the president's talk for an analysis by Eric Greyhead. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, no man can receive a greater honor than to be chosen your president. But with that honor comes duty, and sometimes the duty of a president is hard to bear. This is one of those times, for the enemies of freedom are legion, and they are everywhere. Yesterday I received a telegram from Mayor Yorty of Los Angeles, telling me that violence had once again broken out in the Watts area of that city. It seems that that tragedy of a year ago is to be repeated. Once again, men and women, their ambitions frustrated and their hearts full of hate, have taken to the streets of a peaceable city, there to riot and pillage and destroy and bring fear on their neighbors. A great American philosopher once described these conditions. Whatsoever, therefore, is consequent to a time of war, he said, where every man is enemy to every man, the same is consequent to the time wherein men live without other security than with their own strength shall furnish them withal. In such condition, there is no place for industry because the fruit thereof is uncertain, and consequently no culture of the earth, no navigation, no arts, no letters, no society, and which is worst of all, continual fear and danger of violent death, and the life of man solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. So spoke Ralph Waldo Emerson many years ago. My fellow Americans, these conditions cannot be permitted to prevail. A year ago, I pledged my solemn word as your president that Watts would be peaceful. I warned those responsible for that outbreak not to try it again. That warning has not been heeded. That pledge has been ignored. Let every man know that wherever men take the law into their own hands and turn upon their neighbors, whether it be in the jungles of Vietnam or in the streets of Watts, the office of the President of the United States will stand in their way. For if the repeated tragedies of this century have taught us nothing else, they have taught us this one great truth. The fabric of freedom's cloak cannot be rent in one part with all feeling its effect. Since receiving Mayor Yorty's message, I, as your president, have consulted fully 78 times with Attorney General Katzenbach, Ambassador Goldberg, Secretary of State Rusk, Secretary of Defense McNamara, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We have decided that this outrage in Watts must be met sternly. Accordingly, I have asked General LeMay to order the 15th Bomber Wing of the Strategic Air Command to proceed to Watts at an altitude of 15,000 feet. We dearly hope that one raid will be enough to bring calm to the agitated hearts of those people in that tragic city. Targets have been carefully selected to prevent loss of life. Some will ask, would not another warning be sufficient? My friends, I must reply in all humility that there are those in this world who do not understand warnings. And to those nervous Nellies who think every action a rash action, I say, cool it. Your counsels of fear and hesitation and despair shall not swerve me from my mission. Real Americans will not listen to you. They are in step, their eyes on Old Glory's proud colors unfurled, marching into the limitless future with their president. I pray to God we shall always do right. Thank you.
Well, Eric, that was quite a speech.
Indeed it was, Ray. It was a grave and even defiant president who addressed us today. I couldn't help remarking the contrast between the president's mood today and his mood a week ago when he signed the highway beautification bill. On that occasion, he was buoyant. Today, he was grim. His speech was obviously composed in a hurry, and in fact, I believe there was one error. Wasn't the president quoting the English philosopher Thomas Hobbes instead of Emerson?
Yes, Eric, I believe he was.
But Hobbes or Emerson, the point the president was making was a simple one. Freedom is indivisible, and violations of law will not be tolerated.
Eric, I'm sorry, but we must cut in at this point. We've just received word that Secretary of Defense McNamara is over at the Pentagon and is about to hold a briefing for the press on the Watts operation. Now to Merrill McGee at the Pentagon. Merrill?
Right, Chet. I'm standing in one of the many map rooms in this vast complex where in just a few minutes Secretary McNamara will give us a briefing. There is considerable interest regarding this operation, if only because it marks the first time that a bombing raid has actually been carried out against an American city. Naturally, the fact that it will be American planes that will carry it out gives it added drama. Now Mr. McNamara has entered the room accompanied by several Air Force officers.
Gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? I suppose you all know what this is about, so I'll try to be as brief as possible. May I have that map, please? Thank you. Now, this is Watts, or actually the South Central District of Los Angeles. Watts is here. It has an area of approximately 50 square miles, roughly in this configuration. Now, the target area is this commercial district. The planes will approach from this angle here and make their run over Washington Boulevard. Ordnance will be patterned along the boulevard, hitting the street if possible. It's really a very simple operation from a technical point of view. They'll come in, make their drop, and then get out. Any questions?
Sir. James Griffith of Nashville Banner. Sir, a lot has been said in recent weeks, particularly by some members of Congress, about an alleged shortage of 300-pound bombs for use in Vietnam. I understand that 300-pound bombs will be used over Watts. Do you expect any criticism about more bombs being diverted from Vietnam, sir?
Well, as I have said many times in the past week, there is no shortage of ordnance for Vietnam. Our forces in Vietnam are better supplied than any other force in history. Now, we have consulted with Congress on this Watts matter. In fact, you might be interested to know that Senators Russell and Stennis, to whom I believe you refer when you speak of congressional criticism, are in complete agreement with us that this Watts operation is necessary. Yes?
Mr. Secretary, John Shapiro, ABC. Mr. Secretary, you said a moment ago that you hoped these bombs would land in a street. How are these guys going to drop bombs from 15,000 feet up without hitting buildings all over the place?
These are highly trained young men. In fact, they are the best trained pilots and bombardiers or ordnance technicians in the world. Now, I didn't say that every single bomb is going to drop in the street, as I'm sure you're aware. But I will say that most of them will, and that is all we can expect or hope for. Of course, some lives will be lost, but measured against the lives that will be taken in other cities by other people following their example, the example of these Watts terrorists, if this violence is allowed to continue, the loss of life will be relatively very, very small. And that's what I want to emphasize, and that's what I hope you gentlemen will emphasize.
Mr. Secretary, does the administration expect any difficulties with the various civil rights groups as a result of this operation?
Are you asking me if this operation is unnecessary?
No, sir. I'm just asking you if you expect any trouble from the civil rights groups. Have they been consulted about this?
I'm not sure about that. You'll have to consult elsewhere about that. But I can tell you this. The Air Force is fully integrated. Every complaint about segregation in the armed forces is thoroughly checked out, and almost always they are negative.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.